All lines are now bridged.
Great. Thank you very much. And good morning, everybody, and welcome to the U.S. CDI Task Force. I'm Mike Berry. I'm with ONC, and we all really appreciate you joining us today. I'm going to open up our meeting today with roll call, and I'll start with our co-chairs. Stephen Lane.
I am here. Good morning.
Leslie Kelly Hall.
Good morning.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Hans Bodendijk.
Here with NACO trying to fix.
Grace Cordovano.
I'm here. Good morning.
Jim Georges. Ken Kamoto. John Kilbourne.
Here.
Les Leonard. Clem McDonald. Aaron Meary. Brett Oliver. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears.
Good morning.
Sasha Termott.
Good morning.
Andrew Truscott.
Good morning.
Cheryl Turney is absent today, but she'll be back next week. Dan Breeman. And finally, Denise Webb.
Good morning.
Good morning to all. And now I'd like to turn it over to our co-chairs, Stephen and Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike. And thank you, everyone, for showing up this morning. Really appreciate it. We're in the final stretch of preparing our second raft of recommendations for the HITACH. We have this meeting and as many as two more to finalize those recommendations, which are going to be focused on task two, and what we're now calling phase two of our work. If we could advance to the next slide, we can see that. Meeting notes, again, are being posted to the web, and if anyone has any trouble with those, let us know. But we want to dig in deep on task two here. We initially had decided we wanted to focus on 2B and C for our next set of recommendations, but I think last time we threw in some work on 2A, spent some time digging into that, developed a number of recommendations, and I believe, Leslie, unless you or others disagree, that we're hoping to include all of our task two recommendations when we present to the HITACH next month. Let's see, do we have Al? You are here, Al, that's great. We have a number of draft recommendations that we've put together into a Google Doc, and I think what Katie told me, Al, was that we would have you bring up the Google Doc and we would be able to look at it from there. So I think getting that up in the background would be good. I think, Leslie, you and I can be responsible for sort of editing on the fly, if that seems appropriate, as we go through that. We're certainly hoping that, or we know that some of you definitely had a chance to go to the doc over the past few days since it was posted and provided some input. I've actually gone ahead and just incorporated a number of those recommended changes to wording. And thank you, Sasha and Mark, in particular, for making some really good suggestions. But I think what we'd like to do is to go through the largest number of suggestions, and the ones that I think we've spent the least time talking about have to do with Task 2A, improvements to the OnDeck system. I sort of feel, Leslie, that we could get through those relatively quickly this morning, and then probably turn our attention to task 2B, recommended changes to the evaluation criteria, where I think we have some meatier discussion, and then we'll just kind of see how far we get. Does that suit people? Anybody have a better plan for our meeting? Great. All right. How are we doing there, Al? Are you getting close?
I thought I had it, but it looks like it's sharing the wrong screen. I'm going to stop and restart. Hang on a second.
Okay. No worries. Well, I think we can just start talking through it. So we tried to sort of capture all the recommendations that came up in our prior discussion. For those of you who want to, I'd invite you to open up the Google Doc and follow along there as we go. There we go. Now you've got it there. Oh, perfect. Maybe we can blow that up and focus on that first column. And I'll just kind of walk through these one by one, if that's okay with folks, just to get any input and see if we can approve these as we go. So the first set of recommendations are these general recommendations. And Al, I think you could even blow it up more and sort of keep scrolled to the left. I want to respect the most mature amongst us here and the need to see this on the screen. Recommendations: review all questions to assure the use of simple language. I don't think we need to go into greater detail about reading level or anything like that. We know already that ONC has expressed an interest in doing this, and I believe or I anticipate they're already at work on that. Any questions about that one, any comments, feel free to raise your hands unless we can watch for those. The next one, for any yes-no questions, to always include the option of unknown. There was one question in there that did not have that as an option, and we noted that as an oversight. Provide options for submitters to request assistance or support in making their submission. I think this sort of goes to a theme in our discussions thus far, which is that, you know, there's a hypothesis that there are people out there in the universe who'd like to participate in this discussion, but feel limited or are limited by the technical requirements of having such a discussion or submitting information or filling out fields. So the basic concept here is to make it as easy as possible for people to participate in the process. And the way we've captured that so far is provide options for submitters to request assistance, such as using chat, email, and or interview with an ONC resource who could provide support in completing a submission. So, Grace, your hand's up.
Yes, I think I left a comment for this, but it's not coming up, and it was really on the first point. The way that OnDeck reads right now, it is fairly straightforward and simple. I guess the clarification that I would like is someone that's not really in the industry. So simple language for a health IT vendor is very different from simple language for a patient who just may not have that technical expertise. So just to clarify
right. That
point.
The words should be plain language, and we can do a reference to the Center for Plain Language, which gets to the actual construct of how to write. So I think that can be covered. And then, Stephen, what I suggest is we go through all of 2A and then come back with questions, and I'll keep track of the order.
Okay. I was sort of thinking we'd go through the general ones and get input before we went on to each of the subsequent sections, just as a thought.
Oh, you're going across. You're not going down?
No, I'm going to go down. No, I'm going to go down. To
okay.
A. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. All right, no hands up. We suggest developing a primer and or create addition to the HIT playbook to encourage non-traditional stakeholder participation and understanding of USCDI, especially for patients and care partners. And then providing tools to support greater public engagement, or what's been referred to as crowdsourcing. Social media app buttons. This was an idea that Leslie and I discussed at some length. The idea that there would be buttons on the top of the USCDI landing page and the individual data class and element pages that would allow users with a single click to leverage their APIs to tweet or post to Facebook, et cetera, including the link to the page and the ability to add a comment out to those social media sites. We also wanted to play with the idea of like or dislike buttons, thumbs up, thumbs down, and having the comment button up at the top of each page that we wouldn't want people just sort of spamming the site and randomly putting in 100 likes or dislikes. but requiring the submitter to include information, name, affiliation, email was a suggestion, and having a comment button. So today, if you want to make a comment, you have to scroll all the way to the bottom of the page under all the comments that have been submitted to find that. I think having a comment button at the top of the page, it basically just sort of whisks you down there to an open comment field, would be another benefit. So those were all the sort of general suggestions regarding OnDeck, and we're definitely interested in any feedback. Anyone want to add to, subtract from, modify? Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll try to take what we've gone through today and turn that into language for our transmittal letter. Give me at least a thumbs up, Mark.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Stephen, I added one suggestion in the chat about plain language for the general public, just to reference that it's the broad stakeholder group, not specific stakeholder groups, if that's a useful suggestion. Thanks.
Okay, I've captured that, or we've captured that. Leslie and I are both madly captioning this. You just scroll up a little bit, Al, and maybe refresh your screen. You can, or others who are following in the doc can see the changes that we've put in there. Is that comfortable? No concerns? Great. All right, let's go on to the next down, the registration. We are suggesting removing the requirement that submitters register as an ISA user in order to submit data class elements or comments, really. I think you have to be a registered user to submit a comment today as well. But removing that, obviously, there would need to be identification, name, again, affiliation, perhaps email, but not full registration. And I'm particularly interested, Al or others from ONC, whether you have concerns about this. Obviously, your preference going in was to have full registration. Do you still feel that that's imperative, or do you think that this might be a reasonable change?
I think that we would have to look hard at the feasibility of unregistered access. I think that the risk of spam is pretty high, and we also want to be able to document the submissions for better. This is part of the transparency issue. We want to have some sort of ability to track and to be able to display who's commenting and follow up the commenters as well. I think it might be difficult.
Okay. So I just changed the language, if you can scroll back down, Al, to investigate removing the requirement.
Stephen, is this in column 2B?
No, we're staying in the first column. We're working our way down through task 2A. Okay, next we have some suggestions around submitter details. This was to invite submitters to specify their affiliation with one or more stakeholder groups, such as via a drop-down menu. This was a suggestion that we heard, and to offer specific educational materials and or an alternative path for questions or required fields for submitters identifying as patient or care partner. Here again, I think the idea is that there may be people representing the patient community that perhaps are not as technically savvy, may not know the answers to some of the questions that are required. I don't think we had specific recommendations here about required fields that should be made optional based on someone's identified stakeholder group. As we went through field by field, it seemed like the requirements were pretty reasonable. But again, I think this is raising the level of sensitivity to inviting and supporting input from those who may not be as technically savvy. I know, Grace, this is something you've really been championing. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we've talked about a glossary at some point in time that would be available as well, so that people understood what the word could mean.
Okay, I'm capturing that in the recommendation.
Stephen, this is great. Right. It was really more on the, when you talk about exchange and how many, you know, is it exchange between two or three organizations, four or more organizations, at scale and production? It's more that that's not common knowledge, I guess, not just being technically savvy. So I'm not sure what the right way to address that, but that really was part of the reason for my suggestion.
And I don't know, I don't have the site up, or the, maybe someone can pull up the prep sheet. I don't believe that exchange between organizations was required. Perhaps it is.
It is, Stephen. It's part of the maturity of exchange.
Okay.
And it just says, is it being exchanged, yes or no? If yes, how many, with how many, or between how many different organizations and different systems?
So let me add that.
Or they might even know what exchange means, to Grace's point. Is this, wait a minute, I exchange with my family all the time. So that glossary of terms actually needs to get to that level of specificity, I think.
Okay. I'm capturing this.
But Leslie, it's Grace again. I'm not sure if a patient or someone from the general public needs to include that level of granularity. And if that need, I mean, I agree that there could be a glossary, but once someone has a submission, any other of the members of the task force would be so savvy and knowledgeable that they could easily fill in the gaps. So I think it's just trying to lower the barrier to entry to try to submit things that are necessary or valuable, and then the task force is so great that we can easily piece in what is missing in the submission without maybe making it more difficult for the person to go through a glossary and try to populate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Grace.
It seemed, Al, that refreshing sort of kicked you back out and forced you to come back in. Is that right, or is refreshing something you can do?
I'm just not sure where we're at. Did it refresh?
We're still under submitter details. So there we go. Yeah, so again, we've made some modest changes in response to the suggestions. All right. No hands up. Let's go down to the data element. The suggestion to allow for a submitter to easily see when others have submitted on the same data element. This could be accomplished by a keyword search capability or an automated system that identifies words entered in the data element name or description and identifies other submissions with the same or similar words or concepts, I guess. Again, I don't know how practical this is, you know, given the web development tools available to ONC. But again, I think it expresses something that we've discussed here. Mark?
Yes, sorry, this is back to the point about a glossary. I hope the emphasis is on making the language of the tool itself as accessible as possible. Not everybody is adept at going back and forth to a glossary for definition.
I was thinking a hyperlink, you know, just click that word and see what it is. But I agree with you, Mark. It should be, the main emphasis should be plain language. Simple.
Just capturing the concept of the hyperlink there in that recommendation. Good. All right. Under the use case section of the form, we suggested inviting the submission of patient stories, really illustrating the need for or value of the suggested data, as well as descriptions of the benefits of making the desired data more interoperable and or harms related to lack of interoperability. And then finally, under challenges, we discussed here that the existence of challenges would not be detrimental to the advancement of a data class or element, and we felt that that should be explicitly stated in the form so as to not discourage submitters from identifying such challenges. Mark?
Mark?
I'm on use cases. I'm wondering if submitters could include links to stories that might make it easier. I'm also not sure if that creates more problems than it solves, but it it is a way to get stories in that have been written up.
So, Mark, that's always this is Al. This is that's always possible. That's still possible. We don't say what the format of the use case description is, but we do offer links to. You could provide, you could do any link to anywhere really within that use case link, including project pages. And if you have a user story that's part of the project page, or even just some other web page that describes the use of the data, that's already there. And if we change it from, or we add user story to the concept of use case, sort of synonymous, but you know, that would allow people to put links in there already. It's already there.
Thank you.
All right, and Hans, I saw the comment that you put in, and I changed the box above to say data class / element. All right, so these are our proposed recommendations for our task 2A. I must say, I think we've developed them rather quickly, and there's some really good ideas in there. Does anyone have any concerns before we move on to recommendations regarding task 2B? 2B or not 2B? All right. Let's go on then. This is exciting. We're going to get some work done today. I like this. So under task 2B again, Leslie and I tried to sort of pull out and categorize the recommendations that that came through our discussions and various people's submissions. And so starting at the top, this again is looking at the evaluation criteria that ONC will use to assign a suggested data element or class to a level, again, that being comment level 1 or level 2. So here the first captured suggestion was modify maturity and leveling majority comment within public documents so that those events and stakeholders will not stay in the margins as a result. Okay, let's see. What are we trying to say here?
What we're trying to say
the use of the word majority, that's what it was.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we've captured that in our edit below, Stephen, but I do think there needs to be some wordsmithing. I know Mark said, wait, I still don't understand what we're doing in that one section. So we'll work on that, guys. I think we get the point, but we haven't gotten the words quite right.
Well, and I think we'll probably get down to that here today. We could jump there now, or we could kind of go through this list and then come back to it. What's your preference?
Let's go through the list. Let's go through the list.
Go through the list. Okay. All right. With respect to both assigning levels, task 2B and prioritization for inclusion, task 2C, ONC should consider and balance a broader range of factors, such as health equity disparities, priority use cases, underserved stakeholders, et cetera. Again, we'll be getting into more detail about that recommendation. So I think these are both kind of high-level comments that we captured here at the top. And then there was a comment that if ONC plans to move up the deadline, and I don't know that they were actually considering this, for submissions for V3, announce that as soon as possible. Al, did you make a comment to us that you were thinking of changing the deadline for V3 submissions?
Yeah, we've published the submission deadline of October timeframe, but we are looking to move it up to sometime in September, probably middle September.
When will that be known, Al?
Pretty soon.
Okay, good.
So I think the suggestion here is just, you know, as soon as that decision's made, get that out to help people prepare for that. That seems sort of self-evident, but so I'm not sure we need to include that in our recommendations to HITECH. And then we went on to say, even an announcement now that the deadline might occur sooner, a date still unknown, could be more helpful than waiting until an actual date is chosen. So I guess that's relevant. Al, is there thought of, do you think you're going to finalize that decision very shortly, or do you think it would make sense to at least give people a heads up that this may be coming?
The finalize the announcement of the deadline move up?
Yeah. I mean, do you think you'll be making that decision in the next week or so, or do you think it's going to take longer?
Possibly, yeah.
So I think the comment here is simply that if you anticipate that it's going to move up, even if you don't know the date, it would be best to state that publicly so that people are at least aware.
I think there's no harm keeping it in our recommendations, Stephen. It might prove redundant, but it
right.
I can keep it in.
Great. All right. Going down in terms of the review, I think this is another significant recommendation that the ONC perform annual or preferably semi-annual review of all items submitted to OnDeck to validate the current level and priority based on existing information. And as well as comments and the current criteria. Of course, we're talking about changing the leveling criteria slightly. So that alone could change what level things are in. But obviously, as Alan said, more information is coming in all the time. Comments are coming in all the time. And it's not clear to me, Al, have you guys actually changed the assigned level of any of the elements that have been submitted based on input or not at this point?
I don't know that we have. It's possible that there have been one or two that's happened to, and I can't. I'm not aware, clearly aware of anyone in particular. But
okay.
It's possible.
All right. And so I think here again, the idea is to consider doing this formally, at least on an annual basis, the leveling, re-leveling, and ideally, if resources allow, twice a year. Anyone with comments on that one? Mark suggested that ONC could use the task force as a sounding board for questions or items that do not fall neatly into a particular category. I think that's a nice offer. Again, I hope that we all have an opportunity to stick with this work over the next cycle. So anybody who has any thoughts about this. The next recommendation was to note the date of the most recent review within the website. I would frankly note the date of all reviews in the website and date and outcome. I think it just as a way for those with an interest to follow the evolution of a submission as it moves along. So I'm going to add that if no one objects. All right. And then we had a comment here to report to USCDI Task Force. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. If anybody
that would
can
mean,
provide more detail.
That's That would be part of an annual review or starting a cycle where ONC would present, here are the leveling been done, and based on our review, we're changing the following data elements, or based upon our review, our existing leveling stands. So this would be the beginning of cycle review that would be reported to the task force.
Okay. All right. Any comments? Everyone's comfortable with any of these recommendations thus far? All right.
Is that different? Sorry, if I could, Stephen, is that different? That report is different than when we present the sort of the charges. You know, like we did in January, we presented draft P2 along with the charges, prioritization criteria, those sorts of things. Is that different than that sort of presentation to the high tech?
I don't think so.
I would
so,
see that
Leslie.
It happens at the same. Yeah, I think it's the same kind of thing. It happens at the same time. We're just asking you to say that, in fact, we've reviewed on deck. We see X amount of changes as a result of that review, and this amount of status quo. So at least it's a deliberate way to report back the outcome of your review.
Okay, thanks.
Stephen, this is Denise. Let me just jump in. I know that this recommendation we're putting forth is for that to come to the task force, but I think it really should come to the committee and then...
Okay, to high tech.
Yes, because then comes to the committee, and then if we go through the same process, it goes to the committee, and then the charges are put forth for the task force to deliberate on.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Thanks, Denise. Yeah, that makes a lot of
no
sense.
No problem.
All right. The next suggestion has to do with creating a dashboard for the USCDI. And I think we have an open question here as to whether this would be for the public or for the internal use of ONC and its committees and task forces. But basically, being able to see the number of submissions within each level, the date and time since the last review, the number of prioritized items within each level, that is, and when we're going to get to what it means for an item to be prioritized, and the number of submissions at each level by stakeholder category. And these were just kind of off the top of our heads what we thought might go into such a dashboard. If people have other suggestions, we could certainly capture them, as well as any thoughts on whether this should be public versus more for internal ONC use. Any thoughts?
And maybe we leave some open-ended to create a dashboard. Here are suggestions, but we also welcome ONC input. We seriously haven't thought about everything except off the top of our head here.
All right, under data elements, and this is the last category within the evaluation criteria, within OnDeck, ONC should document and display its categorization of each item based on each criterion as well as overall. So again, you know, when you go in, you find something at level one, looking at, you know, why it was placed in level one. And just an explanatory text, this would help submitters and commenters to provide more specific response and help to ONC and other members of the public.
This is really to address the concerns that were voiced by several of there might be a disagreement between whether something has a standard or not, or where that standard exists or not, and there might just be opportunity to then rebut or actually reinforce something with that level of detail. And I think, Hans, that was one of your points, and I see your hand is raised.
Correct. That's along that same line, so that you have that insight, and particularly to this statement. if that also could be at a data class level, where for a class there are, let's say, 10 elements in there that are in some stage of progression through the criteria, priority or maturity otherwise, would be nice to be able to get that view of, in this data class, where is everything at that we're talking about. So would not just only look at data elements, but also the data class overall.
Thanks, Hans.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so I think let's, if it's okay with you, Leslie, dig into both the language on the use of the term majority, and then I think needing to dig deeper into this differentiation of maturity versus priority. Let's see. Maybe we should go up and do the top of the third column first on Task 2C, just to go through this. By the way, Task 3, that the column to the far right that Al's not displaying, but you can all see online, I think is really that we're going to do that later. We're not focusing on this, but we did categorize some of our recommendations into that category for later attention. If anybody has looked at that and feels that any of those recommendations should be included in this current tranche, let us know, but we still have more work to do after we complete our task two. So task 2C, of course, is the prioritization criteria. This is to say within a level, so currently this prioritization criteria has been seen by ONC as simply how they should select items from level 2 for inclusion in the next draft version. And one of the things that we have talked about is the notion of that the leveling should be primarily based on maturity standards. You know, is this technically ready and able to be accessed, exchanged, and used? And that prioritization could be used within any of the levels to identify items for particular attention by stakeholders, by HL7, by others who want to see it matured and brought forward. But just because something is down at a comment level or level 1 doesn't mean that it can't be identified as high priority. But in the context of level 2, this prioritization would be used to, again, flag those items with the greatest need to or desirability to bring them forward into the version next. So the way we've captured the comments so far, separate criteria based on technical maturity, such as standards, implementation guides, testing, implementation, and use, from those based on non-technical items specifically related to addressing equities and disparities, underserved stakeholders, and priority use cases. I think we want to assure that the true inclusion in USCDI, actually being put into a version, meets minimum standards regarding technical maturity and readiness. And Hans and Sasha have given a lot of thought to this and can provide a detailed discussion. We felt that alignment with ONC certification and or CMS initiatives should not be an absolute requirement. I think it's listed today as one of four requirements. I think the sense when you look at the ONC documentation is that those are and requirements. You need to meet all of them. But we felt that there may well be items that are worthy of advancement to USCDI, even if they have not yet been picked up by certification or CMS initiatives.
If I could make a clarification, ONC does not hold the position that everything is a must and, that there's degrees of priority given to things that meet any of those criteria. So it could be, they're likely to be related, but, you know, whether something's in USCDI or not, I'm sorry, whether something's in some other part of ONC certification or not is a plus. The development of standards is a plus. but it doesn't have to be must be this, 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 and this. That should I don't want people to think that those are all must requirements.
Perfect. Okay. So I think just clarifying that, since we were confused, chances are submitters may be confused as well.
And then, Stephen, I think we have language that we have inclusion in USCDI. Some might see, well, wait a minute, does that mean it can't be in comment or level one or level two unless it's a minimum? So inclusion in this case means as it's advanced to USCDI from level two or any level, it requires some minimum degree of technical maturity. This is the conflict we have in that we don't want marginalized stakeholders or marginalized data classes always being marginal because they haven't met the minimum standard. So we need to make sure that inclusion in the USCDI process is welcoming and inviting, and that includes comment, that includes level one, that includes level two, but that the actual advancement into the USCDI has some minimum degree of technical maturity. Now, I believe that addresses the always on the fringe, because we will be including from on deck all the way to comment to level one to level two, signaling the industry that this needs standards. I would say under the leadership, for instance, that USPSF did with SDOH and others, that's really a great model for something that was aspirational, and then by the time it aligned with USCDI, there was much in place. So just being clear that we have comment, you know, on deck, comment, level one, level two, and then advancement into USCDI. And
we've got a couple of hands up.
Comment. Yeah.
Yeah, Clem, you want to go?
Yeah, so I don't want to... I liked everything that Leslie said. I think that's a good point. I do want to be sure that we don't say you can put in garbage. I mean, that no one knows how to say it, and we're just going to jam it in, and it won't be useful when it's received. But there's one more criteria that would be nice to include. That is to give some priority to stuff that's already sitting in systems and sending it, you know, such as, you know, not being too stingy, you know, on resources that have the fields in there already, or data, the one I don't want to harp on it anymore, but like, you know, eye pressure measurements, tonometry, you know, these are not things that can require extra work on the part of the care system. So we at least give a little priority to stuff that's set of sitting out there, and it's not going to require new manual entry, would be nice.
So Clem, Clem, the leveling criteria takes into consideration current use in systems. That's actually part of the leveling criteria already. That's been one of the core principles of the leveling criteria for a while.
But I just like to clarify a little bit. I mean, tweak the wording that is these are data that are already being collected, not current use in systems is right. I like that, but it isn't as precise. Or maybe it doesn't shade it the right way, that this is data that's in systems now, and it's not a matter of new manual data collection. That may be going too far. So, Al, you just decide whatever you guys are doing a good job. So let me retract all that.
Well, you know, Clem, you've said this many times before, and I do think it's an important point. You know, this is the stingy comment. I attempted to just capture some of that language, and Al's showing it here over in the right-hand column. Prioritize data classes elements that are generated automatically and are collected routinely and exist within HIT systems now. Is that kind of getting at what you were saying?
That's gorgeous, Steve. That's much better.
I was just quoting you, Clem.
No, you aren't. You said it really very well.
And so this bullet says aligns with the prioritization criteria of, you know, minimum implementation burden or development burden. So because there's no redesign. There's no design required for something that's already in there. presumably it's associated with standards. To Clem's comment about sort of, I don't want to repeat the garbage comment, but garbage in senses unrepresented by technology standards, I think is sort of what you were getting at, Clem. That's incorporated in the prioritization criteria as well as the leveling criteria. So if it's an easy lift, it would be considered more than something else that would be harder to implement.
And we have a comment from Hans and then Abby. So Hans.
Thank you. Question for Al, just along the lines of the comment on the second bullet, that there's not an absolute requirement for those initiatives. There seems to be, or at least I'm hearing a potential friction between the text that's highlighted in yellow right now that has a comment to it. So USCDI requires a minimum degree of technical maturity and readiness, and then that second bullet. From Al, your perspective, do you see a potential conflict between the two, where something could be in USCDI for which there is not sufficient technical support there, or is that you're okay with that, but it's just the certification part that is being highlighted as there need not be certification criteria immediately in play for it?
Yeah, I think that the very last part that you said, there need not necessarily be ONC certification criteria that covers the data element for consideration. The highlighted part really points to some of the minimum criteria for level two. The level two criteria, requires that it be either represented using clear terminology standards or have implementation guide inclusion. So that's really the minimum requirement for level two, plus the other things that also need to be in place for level two. So this is really more of a evaluation criteria. Although, if the question is, should we require level two to be considered for USCDI, I think that should be explicitly stated.
I think that's a really important point, Al, and I think it goes to, I think, a key issue that we need to grapple with, which is that, USCDI version 1 includes a number of data classes elements that really don't have great standards, that they grandfathered in. And I think that, we as a task force, HITACH and ONC need to take a position as to whether actual advancement will require a minimum standard going forward, even though there are items that are in there today that don't meet that minimum standard. My personal opinion is that we should, that we owe it to the stakeholders, the industry, to advance new classes and elements that really are ready for exchange, and then to go back and do the hard work to, identify and specify the standards that support those things that don't have them. And I think we covered that in our first round of recommendations. But I think what you're saying is, does something need to meet the maturity criteria of level two to be put forward? Or could something that is prioritized based on other factors be put forward? And again, I want to really differentiate. I'm going to ask Sasha and Hans to take the mic here in a moment. Really differentiate what it means to put something into a draft version versus what it means for something to be put into a final version. Because there is, a good 6-month separation between draft and final, and work can be done during those 6 months. So I think putting forward things that are like almost there, in a draft version, but then saying those are going to make it over to the hump into final, if and only if a certain, the IG is completed, the balloting is done, et cetera. I think that's a question that we really need to grapple with. And if I may, I'd like to ask, Sasha and Hans to sort of bring forward and articulate kind of their thoughts that I think represent EHRA's discussion of this.
And Stephen, if I may, just before that, there was one follow-up question for Al on the prior topic, if I may. And that is that, and that will come back in the rest as well. Consideration of the clarifying alignment, whether the USCDI is in line for a next SVAP or whether it's in line for a next regulatory update. Not sure, some thoughts around what the answer might be, but that probably will influence as well what can go into USCDI based on the fact that the next SVAP is going to come out and it would be part of, or whether we have an entirely new regulatory round where you can add new standards, new levels, new all kinds of other things that is more open. So that will be one other consideration there.
Cons, can you tell the acronym you used? I did not hear it.
Sorry. The SVAP is the standards advancements, standards version advancement process, and there are some criteria as to what can or cannot be included in there as we currently understand it. Maybe the understanding is not totally right, but that is an every year process, and then every X number of years there is a potential a regulatory update where the floor, if you will, is being raised, where you can include more new materials that in an ASVAB, there are some limitations. So the question is that we also need to consider, depending on the phase that we're in, are we looking at the next step with USCDI would be, it could go into an ASVAB, is possibly a different consideration than the next step is a USCDI that can go into the next regulatory round. So any insight would be helpful there, understand that and make that part of our considerations.
Recommendation be that ONC help to provide guidance on the relationship between these two, between the ASVAB process and the USCDI process? Is that your recommendation?
Effectively, to have clarity that the proposed enhancements and updates, that they qualify for ASVAB or that they qualify for a regulatory update or whether there's no difference. We think there is,
yeah, and Hans,
it might not be.
Hans, I think before Al answers, I guess I would just say that my assumption has always been that's really what USCDI is about. I mean, there's this natural progression from USCDI to inclusion in SVAP to inclusion in future rulemaking that to me, it doesn't make any sense to bring anything forward into USCDI that doesn't, you know, meet the qualifications for SVAP and or regulation. This was meant to be a progressive process. So now we'll let Al answer.
And completely agree with you, Stephen, that it's progression in that regard, but the criteria of what might be valid for an SVAP round versus a regulatory round are at least by some community understood to be different. And if that's the case, that needs to be clear. If it's not the case, that needs to be clear.
Let me try and answer that, Hans. I think that it's the approach that we're trying to project is that the USCDI, the versioning process for USCDI is most closely related to the SVAP cycle. So we're going to come up with a final version 2 this summer. We're going to look at it to see if it's appropriate to be considered for SVAP that'll come out next January. And if that's the case, then developers can voluntarily update their systems and provide it to their customers. So we do that once, twice, three times, and we're coming around for a proposed rulemaking cycle. We could do one of several things for a proposed rulemaking cycle, which, you know, when we issue an NPRM, that's the signal that we're looking at adopting a certain version of USCDI. So it would be whatever the most likely would be the most recent USCDI version that was published and or SVAP.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I can't, but we could also propose changes through the rulemaking process that could be different than the regular USCDI update cycle, but we would signal the intent to include something in a rule just by putting it in the NPRM, not by tying
right.
it up for SVAP cycle.
I appreciate that clarity. It's more than that it then needs to be understood by the community that as they see items progress through UCDI levels and criteria, et cetera, that it's understood as to why did something not get into ASVAB, but it could have gone into regulations or the other way around, but that there's clarity and transparency to those criteria, because that's not very clearly understood in the community that that we deal with.
Yeah, because we really are making an effort to very carefully consider additional data elements in a version of USCDI, similar to the way we think about like how would this play if we were to propose it in an NPRM. We're looking at it really from the same level of seriousness, and we would like for each version to be sequentially updated in systems, although it's voluntary. We would like for that, but we wouldn't want to have somebody update 1, 2, 3 cycles of USCDI versioning only to have the NPRM undo a lot of that. That's not, we don't want to convey that we're not thinking along those lines. We're thinking, we think that each update, you know, could very well be included in the next rule.
Thank you. No, that helped.
And Abby, I know you had your hand up for a while and then you took it down. Was there something you wanted to toss in at this point in the discussion, or should it wait until after Hans and Sasha take the floor?
It can wait.
Okay, sorry. And Mark, does your comment fit right here?
I think so. And it's short. I just want to throw out that from my perspective working on social determinants of health, I see a whole range of different deadlines from different coding stewards taking submissions and how long they take to consider and then to approve, and then it can go on to the next step. And these different timelines don't necessarily line up easily. It brings me back to this appreciation for some degree of discretion, nuance in the decision maker to try to balance all of that and say, gut check, is this ready to move forward, rather than having bright lines when you see how all these different pieces do or sometimes don't quite align. It's just a general comment. Thank you.
I guess Stephen, I was going to wait, but I think I do want to piggyback off of what Mark said. I don't know if I could say it better, but the fact of the matter is I understand what we are talking about and the importance of the rigor of the process. But I also want to say in the field, no one is asking for that level of rigor, and they're making requirements and demands on data capturing that are outside of the process we are talking about at our level. And they don't really care about the duplicative nature of the manual entry, and they're requiring it. So I hear what Clem is saying around not adding more manual burden to the providers, but it's already happening. So I think that ship sailed. So whether we want to, I love the idea of not adding more burden to the providers, but it's already happening. So how do we match the industry and the expectations from public entities are already expecting more than what our process is allowing us to deliver with the rigor that we're trying to accomplish. So I think there's a disconnect for me around the process and what the expectations in the field are for those of us that are capturing the data.
You know, Abby, I think you've brought this up a lot, and it brings to mind some sort of rapid cycle development that could potentially be part of this process. So when an organization that represents exchange to a high degree of level that is already seeing something elevated, that the lack of consistent description and standards is actually creating chaos and creating difficulty, it's a form of, you know, I guess, you know, it's just bad. It's a cluster. So how can we, could we potentially make a suggestion for a rapid cycle exclusion process that when there is something that has high potential for future harm, that be considered? So your examples on, I think it was on SDOH before and other things, wait, people are asking all around and I have to adhere to all these different requests. Perhaps this idea of a rapid cycle process could be introduced. Is that something that would address your concerns?
I think something like that would, but I would say that actually I really like that suggestion. Let me give you another example that we just had at our task force meeting last week is occupation. So whether we're ready to talk about occupation or put it into the USCDI, they're expecting in some places occupation to be captured. So I love the way you framed, I know we're trying to manage the chaos, but the chaos already exists. And if we don't get ahead of it and start to organize the chaos, it actually is going to produce data that we're going to be reporting on that is actually not as effective. And the fact that as a country, our social services and our mental health services were left behind in the ARRA money and in the ARRA goals that from 2010, we're playing catch up, and the country needs us to go faster in those areas because the connectedness of our system to social services, mental health services, that's where the crux of a lot of the issues are happening, is that intersection. So I like the idea of a rapid cycle. We could design something like that.
Oh, this is Asha. Can I maybe add on?
Oh. Who is that?
Oh, that was Sasha. I can get in line if there's hands up.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
There are no hands up.
And I'd like to get into as well on this conversation.
Okay, let's start with Sasha and then go to Denise. Sasha.
All right. So thanks. And this is Sasha. And I think that Abby's point actually ties maybe into the conversations that I know Hans and I have been having with others in the industry about why we really need to emphasize sort of the prioritization for standards work separately from the maturity for inclusion in USCDI. The challenge is that when a standard is in flux, we need that rapid cycle of iteration to say, here's the list of 20 occupations we want to use. No, we actually need a different list of 50. Now we want to have 100 and map them to these five categories. And that often involves a lot of flux as we figure out sort of what the most effective approach is. But the certification process, which is, of course, what we're aiming for with USCDI and the standards version advancement process, actually prohibits that type of flux, right? It locks us into a particular standard until, I guess, at minimum, the following year with a new standards version advancement process edition of USCDI. And so one of the, you know, consequences of prematurely putting something into USCDI could be to inhibit that very rapid iterative cycle of figuring out the best way, you know, that I think we all agree is so important.
I'm going to write a draft, some draft bullet in the column to the right for V3 for consideration.
Denise, did you want to comment? I know she's in transit, so may not be able to follow. Okay. So I keep advertising some input from Sasha and Hans, which actually Leslie was kind enough to copy into the bottom of our Google Doc. So maybe, Al, if you wanted to scroll down to the bottom, and if either or both of you would like to walk the task force through this.
Sasha, do you want to start
bottom
where you went with priority?
Very bottom. Almost there, Al. Almost there. Keep going.
Just to kind of kick off with some framing, and then I'll certainly let Hans go into more of the details that he's pulled together. As we were kind of talking about with that example of, occupation, and when do we have something that is sort of stable enough to be effective in USCBI and in certification, and to not have the sort of freezing effect of USCBI and certification be problematic. I think that's part of why I would suggest separating out. This is a real priority for the industry, which might change rapidly based on any number of factors, and could incorporate all of the considerations around patient experience and equity and outcomes and so forth from a more objective assessment of the standard's maturity, which I think we'll need to have as a threshold to reach before we will have something be effective in USCBI. I think we have on one side, if we include something immature, the sort of freezing on something bad consequence, which is undesirable for all the stakeholders. The other consequence we'll have is that if we put into USCBI version 3 something that's immature, we might have a whole, freeze out of USCBI version 3 if the uncertainty about one inclusion in it causes folks to hold off on implementation because they, are not ready to go through the standards version advancement process as they wait for that standards work. And that would also, of course, be undesirable for our interoperability goals and part of why Hans and I make the recommendations we do.
And Leslie, Al, if you could just, you're back. Al, can you scroll up a little bit to the top of this this section, just so that we can get the beginning of their comments? Scroll up about a page. There we go. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Denise.
No, I'm sorry. I lost my signal. Got dropped right when I think you guys were going to call on me. I just wanted to share, I'm presently working at an organization that's a federally designated hemophilia treatment center. And, those are all over the United States. And they do have to comply with certain federal guidelines and so forth. But it's a perfect example of a subspecialty where they have some very significant data needs. And they have a national association. And what I've witnessed is they basically have us copying over within the EMR over to this national registry called Clinical Manager so that they can then extract the data for Clinical Trial Study Manager. And they're not paying attention at all to what's going on with USCBI, this national organization. And they're actually expecting these hemophilia treatment centers to do things that are non-standard to get data into their registry. So I just want to, piggyback on what Abby and others said, that, that horse is out of the barn and they're putting tremendous burden on healthcare organizations. The iterative process, the rapid cycle process is a great suggestion and proposal, but we've got to get these organizations that are doing this data collection to start paying attention somehow to working within standards.
And Denise, I echo that too. The registries are so inconsistent even within the same disease group. I'm sure Grace has seen this as well, or all of us have in some degree. So perhaps that's a general recommendation for V3 and beyond. How do we encourage inclusion of registries and education for registries, because it is a big deal. And I think COVID highlighted some of the inconsistencies that we have, but this esoteric areas, it can mean life and death for patients, and yet the data standardization is not there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We're having to do manual data entry to give them our data, and that's crazy.
So I guess that goes back to the question that we were grappling with a little earlier, which is, should items that advance to USCDI meet minimum data standards in terms of maturity in order to cross the line? Or, you know, are there situations, whether it's like already in use and creating havoc or the various other prioritization elements that we've identified, that should allow certain items to advance even in the absence of technical maturity? I think that's a real core question that clearly ONC is going to have to grapple with, but I think we should come up with a crisp answer to that in our recommendations to HITACH so that can be, you know, considered by ONC.
Yeah, and that's an important part, because what we're also trying to achieve, and Sasha alluded to that already in some of the comments, if we do not have a sufficient reference to standards in place, what kind of friction is that going to create, and what kind of likelihood as a result will that have in adoption sooner rather than later, until we have those standards to reduce the friction, whether the friction is because we now can have different choices of how we interact, so we're not aligning between parties, we're going off on different paths. There are implications that for USCDI to demonstrate that you support it, you must support certain standards, but these new ones are not part of it, or the ones that are not included are not part of it. So how do you do that? So there's a whole slew of questions that would have to be addressed to clarify what that is. Whereas if our intent is that we are improving and expanding interoperability with the least amount of friction moving forward, then from a USCDI perspective, that's one of the key reasons why in some of the notes that you see there and that everybody can read through is that why we are looking at tying that more closely together, if that's not already there, to make sure that we have a clear, clean process by which we can all move forward on the same path, interoperability. But it is a balancing act. That's not going to disagree with that.
So Hans, do you want to walk us through some of the specifics that you put
Sure.
in your comments?
Sure, and Sasha, just jump in if I miss something here or there. So the first one that's on priority versus maturity, Sasha already highlighted that, and these are some examples that we put in there, that some of the statements made, are they more a priority statement versus a maturity statement? And if we can keep them separate, makes it easier to really understand where is what should drive us to move forward and rally the community around, because it's important, particularly where there is not enough maturity around the standards there yet. What do we need to do? On the distinguished vocabulary versus technical, we've had a number of conversations around that as well. So we put some things in here that just to pull it all together. But having just vocabulary standards is not necessarily sufficient. In some areas, it might be, because the underlying standard implementation guide is already there. It's just additional vocabulary. In other cases, vocabulary alone is not enough. So we need to make sure that we always keep that in mind, that USCDI pointing to vocabulary standard does not mean that that's then implementable. In some cases, it does. In other cases, it does not. And we talked sufficiently, I think, about the data class in the USCDI must have support for with the technical standards. Goes back to what we just mentioned as well. But if you want to scroll down a little bit further, a part that we have not talked much about in this context, really clarify that as we have the distinction between priority and maturity, there is the point in time now that we are assessing something for a draft, and there's something a year from now that the priority and the maturity may have changed. So today the priority might be high, but the maturity is low. We agree that the priority is high, sufficiently high that we need to rally the community around, and what can we do in the next 6 months to a year to get the maturity up, and then a year from now we measure it and it's higher and it's high enough to get in. So I think we need to think about these concepts not only at the time of submission, what is it at that point in time? Clearly, that is helpful to understand, to say, hey, where is the starting point? But we need to keep track of both of them over time so that it can inform us what's good enough to put in a draft, what is good enough to put in the actual published version, what's good enough to not put in a draft but focus our attention so that the community can do the work, so that in a targeted period of time or otherwise, that it has reached enough maturity, particularly if the priority is high. So we believe that by keeping distinction between priority and maturity and keeping in mind the now and the next and the progression over time, that is an important part of managing and driving this roadmap that we're all putting together. So if we look at the next one, is that aligned with existing ONC certification and CMS initiatives, there could be the recognition that it is aligned with the CMS initiative, but it's not in certification criteria yet. Just having that awareness of what's happening, where that sits. This is not stating that it must be in certification. It's just recognizing what's the state. Is it in there or not? And how does that work? So that's just to have more insight and clarity. And it, in part, also then goes back to ASFAB, what can go into ASFAB or what cannot go into ASFAB based on some of those criteria that are in play that can help understand why or why not something is progressing or why we should or should not be looking at something. Modest technical standard development is that if there is not the minimum standard, it's going to be challenged. If it's a modest, we really should be very close to the finish line, or it should indeed be modest, because we're looking at yearly cycles if it's in the ASFAB timeline. So that if it's a large jump, that standards are there, initial maturity looks good, but it is for a substantial number of parties, a big effort to get it up by the developer, by the provider, by the community to put it in place, then are we going to have the value of that ongoing progression? Or are we really ending up with still bunching everything up until the next phase, and there's a lot of work to be done all at once? So a clear balancing act, what is modest? Not sure that we have a good answer to say is that, hey, this is modest and this is a lot, but we clearly have to look out for that when we look at the ASFAB cycle in particular, because it comes out by the end of the year, January the next year perhaps, as it happened with the first one. So let's say January 1, it comes out. Now it's active until the next January. When will people actually have the chance, the organization have the chance to take that on, roll it out, and now get ready for the next year's ASFAB and keep on cycling through that? So that's a balance we have to find out. What is modest enough? What is aggressive enough to get into that space? So that would probably need a little bit more work to get insight into that. How much work do we actually think is going to be needed? There was, in the next statement, there was the notion in that section of modest aggregate lift for vendor, but the term expanded was used. So that was more pointing out is that that's a bit of an ambiguous term. How does that relate? Because that could be more widely interpreted than modest. We still know that there's a challenge with how big is modest, but if the term would just be modest in sync, then I think it would align better.
So where was the term expanded used? I'm not familiar with that.
If you go up to, I think it was the orangey color tables, okay, under the modest aggregate lift for vendor development and implementation was the header. In that section, there was some wording that had the term expanded in it.
Yeah, here it is. It says data functionality and interoperability exists or can be expanded. Efforts are underway or projected and use cases prevalent.
This is, we were trying to capture Clem's comment about, hey, if it's a note, we already know how to do notes. So let's add an op note, let's add a path note, let's add a coroner report. That's what I was trying to capture there.
I think it's still that would fall under modest at that point in time. If it falls within that, in order to achieve that, there is a standard, there is an adjustment, it's an addition of a number of things that everybody is kind of already doing, then it's modest. Expanded seemed to potentially imply is that it could be a good chunk of work.
Okay. Clem has a comment, okay, but then so, I think we have public comment, right?
Go ahead, Clem. I wanted to reinforce it that, yes, we shouldn't have to create new requests for things for which that are contained in a class we've already accepted. But on the other hand, as I hear all this, I don't think it makes any sense that we can deal with such a complicated set of rules. And we're going to have to fall back to some human judgment somewhere along here. And the more we dissect it and only separate in separate pieces, the less people will be able to fairly apply it, I think. I think we got to be careful about over granular rules.
Thanks, Clem. So let's go to public comment now. This has been a very good discussion. The co-chairs have invited Hans and Sasha to work with us on developing some specific language for recommendations coming out of this discussion, which we hope to have back by next week. So public comment?
Great. Operator, can we open up the line for public comment?
Yes. If we would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Thank you very much, operator. So in the last 5 minutes, I think really we've done great work today. We went through and reviewed, modified, and approved our recommendations around task 2A and 2B. I think that we still have some work to do to really articulate more clearly what we're talking about with regard to the differentiation between technical maturity and other priorities so that those recommendations can be really crisp when they come forward. I'm still feeling like we haven't declared ourselves with regard to this notion of including items in a published USCDI version that don't meet minimum technical / maturity standards. I think we've acknowledged that there are items in USCDI version 1 that don't meet these strict criteria, that grandfathered in. And I think that there are some voices suggesting that we might add additional, you know, items in a future version that go into this sort of don't meet the standards criteria. And I think there are other voices that are suggesting that everything that we add from version 2 forward should meet the technical standards criteria, and that there would be benefits or burdens regardless of which choice was made. So I would just be interested in the last couple of minutes as to whether anyone would like to kind of specifically state their opinion one way or the other. Should sort of quote substandard classes or elements be included in a special category, or should everything going forward meet technical maturity standards as a way to allow the industry to embrace these and move them forward in a more meaningful way? Mark?
Just to repeat what I've said before, I think it's sort of a totality of the circumstances approach. Maturity is important, other things are important, and that's why I did the presentation on the advanced health models and meaningful use approach of considering those factors together and trying to balance them.
So leaving it gray and leaving it up to ONC to make the call based on that totality, as opposed to specifically, you know, specifying a set of technical standards from an HL7 and use perspective that must be met.
I'd put it a little differently, avoiding the chaos and harm of having a bright line that important things are not yet able to cross because it's a bright line, but everybody needs it.
Michelle?
I guess I would favor having a separate category. I actually think that what we put into USCDI should have enough technical standards that people can follow it and can do it. But I know, because I'm one of the people who recommend some of these things, there are going to be times when the public or agencies want certain things that don't have the specifications in it. And I just think that's a separate category that we would, you know, consider those things on a case-by-case basis. But to really get into the USCDI, I think they should meet the technical standards criteria.
So when you say separate category, you mean separate outside of USCDI as opposed to separate within USCDI?
I think it's, it may have to be separate outside of USCDI or, you know, one of these adjacencies. Because one of the things I'm still, frankly, not hearing in the USCDI conversation is, what is the long-term vision? Is this all-encompassing? Or is it this narrow focus of, you know, certain topics that we have to be very careful about, and yet we're going to build off kind of adjacencies or subgroups or something like that?
Thank you, Michelle. You got the last word. Thank you, everyone, for your participation today, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.